Football on Off the Ball.
Well, I think man management is far more nuanced nowadays, as you're suggesting, because the dressing rooms have changed. You've got players from different faiths, different cultures, different communities, and you've got to reflect all that. These are player whisperers as well as player shouters.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Hello and welcome to Friday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, the fallout continues over Ireland's Nations League draw with the dates of the fixtures confirmed. The League of Ireland faces more weather disruptions. Northern Ireland's manager has a new job to go alongside his national team one. And Keith Andrews and Brentford tie down one of their star players to a long-term deal the day after their draw with league leaders Arsenal. But first to Ireland and their Nations League campaign. The boys in green are in a group with Austria, Kosovo and Israel. The dates for the games were announced earlier on. Heimir Hallgrimsson's side will start with an away game against Kosovo on Thursday the 24th of September. Ireland are down to play Israel away from home on the 27th of September. The home game is on the 4th of October. Austria come to Dublin on the 1st of October. The FAI confirmed after yesterday's draw that Ireland will fulfil both fixtures against Israel, who have played their recent home games in Budapest, but the Israeli FA wants their games to return to Tel Aviv. The group stage concludes with games against Austria away from home on Saturday the 14th of November, and the last game is a home match against Kosovo on Tuesday the 17th of November. On last night's news round, former striker Owen Doyle joined Owen Sheehan and called for a boycott of the games with Israel.
The FAI are in a bit of a logistical situation here, Owen. This is going to be something that rumbles on and on and on. There might be a pause when we're focused on, you know, Prague and hopefully Dublin next month and hopefully a World Cup in the summertime. But once that World Cup is out of the way, this is going to be right back in the view for the FAI, and the calls for boycotts are not going to stop.
A very temporary pause, I assume. Literally just for the 90 minutes of the game. It's such a heated topic, especially in Ireland. And like, obviously the FAI feel very backed into a corner here, I assume. And like, from an administrative point, saying they're going to fulfil the fixture, I'd understand it when sanctions, and that's their role, to look after the game in Ireland and stuff. My view on it be slightly different. I think this is a great opportunity for Ireland to stand on the right side of history. Over 40,000 women and children killed by the IDF in Israel. Over 450 footballers, many of them children, have been killed. And like, the greater scheme of things, sporting sanctions are temporary, but the loss of all these lives are permanent. I think it's a really, really good opportunity for Ireland in particular to stand up here and boycott this. I understand the FAI's approach to this. It's putting an awful lot of people in a really uncomfortable position, players, managers, all the likes.
What will it take to change their stance on this is a big question I'd have. Is it overwhelming national sentiment against these fixtures taking place? Because right now it's a fairly straight thing where it's like, we are going to suffer the consequences of this on the football pitch down the line if we don't fulfil these fixtures.
Yeah, I think the sanctions being labelled out black and white will be first and foremost what they'll be looking at, I'd assume. They need to ask them questions, I think. What does happen if we do boycott this game? Like, what will you do to us if we boycott this game? That's important, because we don't know. You just hear things like fines, sanctions, maybe expelled from future tournaments, but like, let's have it. Like, what will yous do to us if we do boycott this game?
Take Euro 2028 off us.
Yeah, you never know. Like, you never know. Obviously, from the Association's point of view, like, financially, that's disastrous, you know.
Yeah.
So, at the beck and call of UEFA here, if something like that was to come down on them. But listen, like, player unrest, management unrest, fan unrest. All that stuff is going to be loud and proud now. Maybe not so much from the playing staff and the management, maybe, but certainly from the fans and the people of Ireland. There's a lot of noise going to be created.
Bohemian COO Daniel Lambert was also on the show last night and said that the FAI fans, coaches and players shouldn't be put into this position.
Why do you think the FAI have been so quick and strong in their statement today to say they will be fulfilling this fixture, given the opposite seemed to be evident in what your relationship was or what you experienced through trying to get this motion through, because there seemed to be widespread support for it?
Yeah, well, I think, look, the General Assembly, I suppose, are the voting members of the FAI, the FAI executive have released a statement today. What I'd say is that nobody should be in this position. The FAI shouldn't be. Players, I'm sure, will come under pressure. They shouldn't be. Fans, I'm sure, will be already. I've got lots of messages from people saying they won't travel, they'll hand back season tickets. None of us should be in this position. because this situation is already legislated for in the UEFA statute. There's a rule book there, and that rule book exists for really good reason, to prevent the situation that we now find ourselves in. Ireland and other nations in UEFA are being done a total disservice by the UEFA Executive Committee. UEFA or Israel should not be competing in any UEFA competitions right now. That is absolutely crystal clear. It's not my view. As I said, it's just an objective fact. And those rules exist for really good reason. And none of us should need to make this decision. And I'd call actually on the Irish government, other high-profile Irish sports people, people within the game, outside of the game. We should all be absolutely calling for UEFA to suspend Israel, because we should not be put in this position. And UEFA should expel Israel, suspend and then expel. And nobody should be made to play Israel at the moment. They shouldn't be allowed to play in any UEFA competition.
If you want to listen back now in your OTB Football and Daily Podcast feed for free, you can do so. The 42's Gavin Cooney also joined the two owns on last night's football show. And with much conjecture around a possible boycott of the games, Gavin says that UEFA ultimately pays the bills.
Gavin, just finally, do you not think that public backlash or the General Assembly getting together and putting the pressure on the executive and the association would have enough strength to make them change their mind?
No, I don't, Owen, because UEFA pay the bills. The FAI are hugely reliant, a lot of, like most member associations, on the money that comes from UEFA. Obviously coming from hosting Euro 2028. I mean, you know, this is a slightly reductive view of things, and it's more nuanced than this, but like, I mean, the FAI's kind of financial plan for 2025, 2026, even, 2027, is let's just get through to the Euro 28 bonanza, and that will put us back on our feet to an extent. So they're affiliated to UEFA, and obviously in an official sense, and they're beholden to them in many ways as well, including most obviously financially. So I'd be very, very surprised if a backlash from their own members and the Irish football public and Irish politicians, etc., could persuade the FAI not to fulfil this fixture just because the sanctions from UEFA would be potentially so punitive as to damage the sport here.
Meanwhile, the Taoiseach says the two games between Ireland and Israel should go ahead. Micheál Martin says there's no official boycott of Israel and the venue for the away leg is a matter for football authorities. The Israeli Football Association says it would welcome Ireland to Israel for the home game in September, and Micheál Martin says he sees no reason why the games shouldn't be played.
People have to distinguish between the government of Israel and its policies and the people of Israel. And that's an important point. And I think sport is an area that can be challenging when it crosses into the realm of politics. But here, the International Sporting Organization has its rules, its framework. It's a matter for them to deal with issues like that. But here, we should not have security issues. The team should be allowed to play and get on with it.
Now, the weather's causing more disruption on the second weekend of the League of Ireland Premier Division season. Tonight's game between Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers at Talca Park is off due to a waterlogged pitch. It's the second week in a row a Rovers game has been called off due to the rain. So the champions are yet to play a league game. The St Pat's and Galway United game at Richmond Park is also off after failing a pitch inspection. Drogheda United are at Hampton Waterford. That game at Sullivan and Lamb Park has been given the go-ahead after passing a pitch inspection, and there's a new kick-off time to go in with the TV coverage. It starts at 8 o'clock. The Drogs got their season off to the best possible start last week with a late winner from Iago Godden away to John Caulfield's Galway. Meanwhile, Waterford started 7 new faces in their draw with Shelburne last Friday, a sign of the turnover in their squad under new boss John Daly. Dundalk had thrown new signing Tyreek Wilson into their squad for their game against Derry City at the Ryan McBride Brandywell. The former Shells man joins his brother Jay Orr at Oriel Park. Meanwhile, Derry City will look to make it 6 points from 6 after last Friday's late win at home to Sligo Rovers, who had gone 1-0 up in that game. Joshua Thomas scored last week's winner. James McLean played the full 90 minutes on his return to the league for the first time since 2011. The new First Division season kicks off tonight. UCD's game at home to Kerry has been given the go-ahead after a pitch inspection in Belfield. Bray Wanderers host Longford Town at Lone Town, play Finn Harps, and it's Cove Ramblers against Wexford. Wexford have a number of new players in their squad. Fullback Max Murphy is one of them.
Yeah, Cove are always a tough side to go down there and play against, and they had a good season last year like they do most seasons. But you just take the first game as it comes and hopefully we can go down there and get 3 points.
Cork City begin life back in the First Division with a Munster derby against Treaty United. Former Celtic midfielder Barry Robson will have his first game in charge of last season's FAI Cup finalist. Shaunie Maguire is expected to start, having turned down interest from Shamrock Rovers before the start of the season. The Kilkenny man says his aim is to get Cork back to the top flight.
When the champions put a bid in for you, there's a lot of interest, your head can kind of turn, but at the end of the day, I did really want to stay. And you know, when Cork obviously offered the new contract to me, I think, look, it was sort of thing of looking at it, look, my career was always going to plan out with Cork City, and putting on another jersey in the League of Ireland jersey on my shoulders, it wouldn't feel right. And as I said, I want this club to be back at the top end of the League of Ireland fighting for titles.
Those games all kick off at 7:45.
Pegó en la mano de un hombre argentino, se está habilitando el hombre de italiano que ingresa, elude al arquero, viene el empate, ¡gol! ¡La tuvo!
This week on Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors, how a Danish wonder kid nearly ended up at Liverpool, and how the team of the 80s could have won even more. Michael Ledger's proposed move to Merseyside could have altered the European football landscape. But why did the deal ultimately collapse? Find out on this week's Sliding Doors. Subscribe now in your OTB football podcast to not miss an episode. Coming to you for free each and every Monday.
Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta says they remain focused on themselves after a 1-1 draw away to Brentford saw them drop points in the Premier League title race. The Gunners could have gone 6 ahead of second place Manchester City, but the lead is now 4 points with 12 games to play. Arteta says it's not the first time they've failed to get all 3 points after a City win.
Raise the levels collectively and individually to be better than the opponent every week, and that's going to carry on like this till May, regardless we play before or after that. It's just the things that we have to do. That's the most important thing.
Arsenal's next opponents will be Wigan in the FA Cup on Sunday, and their caretaker boss will be familiar to many Irish fans. Glenn Whelan, who won 91 caps for Ireland, will be in the dugout at the Emirates on Sunday for the fourth round tie. And he told Shane Hannan and Vinnie Perth on this morning's Off the Ball breakfast he's already been on the phone to an old teammate for some advice.
Do you be on the phone now today or tomorrow to Keith Andrews to get his thoughts on Arsenal, obviously fresh from last night? Is that something you'd consider?
It's the first thing I've done this morning, right. Especially with him and Stephen Rice on the set play. So yeah, we're all pulling in the same direction. Don't worry about that.
So you've already spoken to Keith this morning?
I've tried to get in touch this morning, yeah. So obviously he's had a late kickoff, so I've left a couple of messages and I'll be on the phone as soon as I can.
Your other buddy Paddy McCarthy, Paddy's always a good lad. He's one of the better Irish lads around, I'll put you that way. So I'm sure we're starting to build a little contingent over there, aren't we, of these lads coaching away. Yeah, and to be fair, I know you've done a little bit. The FAI sort of coaching pathway has been decent, and a lot of people have got good benefits out of it.
Yeah, no, Paddy's one of my best mates. We went off to Man City at the same time, so he's all right for the north side, let's just say that. Yeah. But he's done terrific for at Palace and the experience that he's had. And no, it's definitely someone I've leaned on since I've retired. Obviously, just his own experiences and obviously different coaching sessions and things that he's picked up on. So yeah, I think the FAI and the pathway with the A and the B and the pro license. Now there's a lot of lads that want to get on the course now because they do see it as a real success. And now you can only see, obviously, Conor Hourihan, Brian Barry Murphy. There's a lot of lads who've are actually getting the chances now and showing what they can do.
And Keith Andrews says he won't make any predictions about Brentford qualifying for Europe after that draw with Arsenal. His side remains seventh, but they're just 2 points behind sixth place Liverpool.
I'm not going to speak about that. There is 12 games left, but I do promise you we're going to attack every single one of them and push and continue to push really hard to see how much we can achieve this year. That's a long way off.
Some more good news for Brentford is that striker Igor Thiago has signed a new long-term contract, which will keep him at the club for another 5 years. The Brazilian, who scored 17 times in the league this season, will remain with the Bees until the summer of 2031. Ireland international Courtney Brosnan has signed a new 2-year deal with Everton. Brosnan joined the WSL side from West Ham in 2021 and since then has made 86 appearances in all competitions after becoming the club's number one. Her new deal is until June 2028. Northern Ireland boss Michael O'Neill has taken over at Championship strugglers Blackburn in a joint role until the end of the season. He'll still lead Northern Ireland for their World Cup playoff against Italy in March and potentially the final if they get there before taking full charge at Ewood Park. Barnet manager Dean Brennan's been given a 9-match touchline ban after the FA ruled he verbally abused a female referee and referenced her gender. The Dubliner was sent off by Kirsty Dowell during a game against Shrewsbury last September. He denied the charge, but an independent commission found them guilty, issuing the ban, a £2,000 fine and a mandatory education programme. Chelsea boss Lemar Senior says he's looking forward to returning to Hull tonight despite being sacked by the Championship club 2 years ago. Chelsea are currently fifth in the Premier League, while Hull are fourth in the Championship. Despite how his time ended there, Rossignol says he holds no hard feelings.
Hull City is very special to me. My grandma was a season ticket holder. She passed away a year to the day pretty much when I took that job. I've got my family coming up. I probably need about 20 tickets. The club means a lot to me for many reasons.
And the other fourth round tie in the FA Cup tonight sees Wrexham at home to Ipswich. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more next week.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.